Let's have the roll call.
Yeah, oh yeah, sure, yeah.
Okay. Mr. Doyle, will you call the roll?
Yes. Senator Chance?
Here.
Senator Croft? Senator Huber?
Here.
Senator Katula? Senator Poland? Senator Tillian? Senator Ziegler? Representative Miller?
Here.
Representative Bradner?
Here.
Representative Brown? Representative Davis? Representative Kelly?
Here.
Representative Ostrowski?
Here.
Representative Rode?
Here.
Madam Chairman, I think we've heard from Mr. Brown be delayed, and Mr. Ziegler expresses regrets, but he'll be en route on the ferry due to delay in court activities, and Senator Croft is delayed by weather or whatever that plane problem there. We haven't heard from Mr. Davis that I know of.
Yes.
Yeah, we.
Mr. Davis called of you. He will not be in this evening.
All right. And I think that accounts for those who were not able to be here at this time. Mr. Cartula is here in town, and Mr. Tillian is here in town. We just haven't heard from them this morning.
Thank you. Before we get into our meaty subjects here, I would like to point out that there are several very important items that the council needs to attend to early on so that we can sort of fade into the background during the session, and the in-session activities will be taken over by the two houses. I want to express appreciation and congratulations to the members of the council for the outstanding task I think has been accomplished between sessions with the reorganization and staffing of our agency and the preparation for this session. As you're all aware, there was a hang-up in the space situation, so though we had intended to have everything settled and everybody in place by about mid-November, they're still in the process of moving things into offices and so forth. However, this year, for the first time, we do have an inventory of equipment. There is adequate equipment and supplies on hand, and people don't have to run around and wonder or grab the first thing they see in sight like we have in the past to make sure that our offices are equipped. There are they've taken an assessment of the needs, and through the supply officer, every office can be appropriately equipped and supplied. I think that in itself is quite a step forward. We will go through our reports from the agency, which will be rather brief, and then we will go into the discussion of the supplemental appropriation request for the in-session expenses, and then we will lay out a schedule of when the subcommittees can report to council. I had hoped that we would have been able to have about a 2 or 3 day meeting prior to the session, but because of everybody's time commitments, we weren't able to get people here for it that far in advance of the session. So if we could have the subcommittees make their report and present to council proposed legislation that has been developed by these subcommittees, hopefully within the first week of the session, while the workload of the standing committees can be rather light, then our subcommittees can disband and not be in the way of the standing committees during the session. And that will be one of our orders of business, is trying to schedule those so that next week we can get those reports and get them out of the way and introduce any legislation developed by council. I'd like now to turn the meeting over to Mr. Doyle for the status reports from the agency. Mr. Doyle.
Senator Chance and members of the council.
Excuse me, just one moment. May I interrupt here? Before we get into this, I would like to recognize Mr. Miller for a little special project he has here, and then we'll go into business.
As you all know, we had to cancel the December meeting, and if we had not had to cancel, one of the pleasant little things that I was going to do was pass out, not as an act of my own generosity, but as an act of the generosity of the Gastonal Philatelic Society, a first aid cover. As you all know, unfortunately, the bad news was that the federal government raised the cost of postage to 13 cents. But for those of us in Alaska, at least in Juneau, the good news was that the first day of issue for this new 13-cent stamp was in Juneau. And the Juneau Philatelic Society had produced, I think, a very outstanding first day cachet. Don't mail these to anybody because they're worth money. They're collector's items. As a matter of fact, they're all sold out. They printed up, I think, about 6,000. Thought they had at least a couple of thousand left over. And they've long since been out. So they're...
What are they worth?
I don't know. something in excess of 13 cents.
The envelope itself is a nickel, so that's...
Right. Right. So, yeah, you can... as I say, I'm just being a messenger on this. The real people to be thanked are Juneau Philatelic Society, and Sue Hall is, I think, president of that organization, as a matter of fact. And they want to be good members of the Philatelic Society. As a matter of fact, the penalty for being having any member of the council that's not here will just have his place taken by any of the legislators that are here.
Thank you very much, Representative Miller, and please express our appreciation to the Juneau Philatelic Society. Now, back to the regular order of business. Mr. Miller.
Can I bring up one other thing? You've got to give a review on that. I think it would be appropriate right at this moment to mention, because you're not going to do it, I'm sure, what a great job you did this summer here. Particularly, all of us remember back, and maybe it's not even painful to remember back, at the beginning of the summer, things were just very painful and very tumultuous. And we could have, everything could have gone down the tube, but instead, the chairman, I think, just did a fabulous job of coming in, taking hold of the extent that needed to be taken hold, and yet allowing as much rain as could be allowed, under the circumstances. I think there was a lot of decisions that had to be made at various times. Maybe every one of us didn't agree with every one of them, but the overall result was just excellent, and I think we're in great shape right now. I think it's 95% of the credit for that has to be for the way you handled the council. I just don't think there's any doubt about it. I just think somebody had expressed it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It's nice to go into a session feeling that you've got the tools to work with, and I don't think we've ever been in this position.
Well, it's been great having the full support and backing of this council, too. It's been a great, great group to work with. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Kept our chairman pretty busy. I think she did a heck of a job, too.
Thank you. Mr. Doyle.
I feel anticlimactic after that. My report.
We got to tell.
Senator Chance, members of the council, I know you've come into the halls here and seen some of the remnants of confusion, which, of course, as you might expect, we are a month or so late or 2 weeks late, and some of you may be inclined to blame it on the governor's indecision regarding moving and on IBM and on a faults of the contractor and the faults of the architect and other things, but actually it's all the fault of Bert Charney. So it's been hectic, it's going to be hectic. I'm asking at this time that you consider a short, spicy meeting because Bert and I got to get back to moving furniture and things. So I wanted to say that before we have reports from our divisions, which will be brief, that we're looking forward to some of the meetings from the reports of the subcommittees and some other planning ahead type sessions on the part of the council. I've talked to the chairman and the vice chairman about the possibility of appointing a select committee representing the council and other members of the legislature regarding continuing space matters, which will be haunting us for years to come, with a new capital even, but for 4 or 5 years of where to put the furniture, all this sort of thing, and the very sensitive things. We're losing our lease on the assembly. I have some legislation here to take care of some interim thing on space to make sure we have control. But this is something I do believe that we can work on very productively and finish before the end of this session, so we know what money, policy, et cetera, is involved, and all legislators will be assured of what the plan is. Because I hate to have the legislature, which is in an improved position this year, find it next year out in the cold certain places, and we get used to certain things, it might be difficult. But if we're able to decide what it'll cost, what the legislature wants to do, if we can do anything at all, the legislature will know what the plan is, and it won't be a surprise to us or to them. I talked to the staff. We want to revive a longtime staff aid of many years ago, which was reflected well in the legislature and was very useful to the public. Is a handbook on revenue and taxation, which describes the first volume, what every tax is, how we got it, what it does, and problems with it, and the second volume analysis of alternative plans, what the administrators think about it. It's one of those things you can use well when trying to understand what's going on in the chamber when you aren't directly involved with revenue and taxation, but what your constituents expect you to know. So it's a great public information aid, but a great intended mainly as a legislative aid. And we haven't done that evidently since 1962, and it's a thing that the staff can handle, legal and research staff handle very well together, and we're looking forward to beginning work on that just forthwith. And I think by the time any action on legislation on revenue by the end of the session, we'll have it ready to publish at least the volume one about 2 weeks after you all go home, because it's something that you can certainly use in trying to explain things to yourselves and others. And it's one of the old aids that hasn't been done in recent years. Looking ahead to the 10th legislature, which one must do, I am going to ask the council and present them with some materials regarding a formal orientation program using in-house talent, meaning legislators, state officials, and staff, for returning and new members of the 10th legislature, housekeeping, procedural matters, issues, which I would vow probably in cost a couple days per dime, but I think would make everybody feel much better and be more effective as they went into a session, even for our returning members. That is something I'd like to discuss later on when we have a little more material. I've also talked to Mr. Miller here, who is on Rules Committee, regarding the plans for the rules, adoption of formal rules for the 9th legislature. I would like to see a plan where the council's authority to make a formal revision to where the laws change, the rules change, before we go to the printers, but I'd like to have a plan next year where by a joint or a concurrent resolution adopted by the legislature, the council with the rules committee members be authorized to make a bulk formal and substantive revision, which by virtue of the authority vested them by the rules in this concurrent resolution could be considered the temporary rules of the 10th legislature until otherwise changed or adopted. I think it needs a sore cleaning. Mike points out there is no index, there's sort of a table of contents. There's no headings on some things. Substantive issues, or rather procedural matters, are moved in with housekeeping matters, and it's really not a very good set of rules because it's been patched on for the last 15 years. It started out as a patchwork, and it's been developed a little bit, but I think it brings some problems. And I think that might be an excellent interim council project. Yesterday, I distributed to all the members in their mailboxes, we'll have on their desk, is what now has already been called the pink sheet. And I didn't realize that broad was that far broadcast. With the legislators arriving and staff arriving, experienced ones, and ones that there's some certain practice that arisen in the past, in order to confirm the positions of the legislature under law and rule, and also the decisions of the council in trying to make certain there are no embarrassing situations or questions regarding control of expenditures and operation of facilities. This is to remind the members, and I have here a copy of the handbook for staff, which it mentions in there, because staff are the ones oftentimes who used to sail downtown and order a sofa or something and think the legislature was going to pay for it. And this is to alert them that the members' reputation, integrity of the process is to be protected by avoiding all that sort of thing, because nothing will be purchased unless proven in advance process through our supply office. You set up a supply and control system, and it's going to be observed unless the council directs otherwise. The same thing with the use of duplicating equipment. That is for official purposes. The rules say so, and it says who can use it. And I've told the supervisor that no one is to walk in there. They have to have a work order, have to be signed by an authorized person, and must be legislative business. It's also reminded that he put the legislator in an embarrassing position by taking in something personal. I don't know what happens on Xerox machines, but the duplicating service is under our control and responsibility. And the whole thrust is, it must be a work order, signed by an authorized person, must be legislative business. I remind the employees that legislators have an expense allowance to cover these personal things, and how they handle them elsewhere is certainly a member's business, and no personal business goes into that duplicating room at all. If they do, they're going to hear from me, and I'm going to shout because I know you're going to back me up on it. It's the only way to keep the membership at large, legislature, and individual leaders and like that from being embarrassed and opening up to all sort of scandalous accusations. This is a part, really, in my letter, a reaffirmation of what the law and the rules says rather than any new policy, but actually it's been reaffirmed by the council and to our auditors of saying, here's what to do to avoid any possible question. It's, we owe to the legislators to avoid any poor reflection on them by activities of permanent or temporary staff. So there might be a little impetuosity on this, and there may be a little kicking, but I'm going to be the one they're going to kick. And if I get kicked by anybody on high, I'm going to come to the council and say, what are we going to do about this? But I'm relying on the members, but I'm always afraid of staff who haven't been instructed. We brought out this year a sort of a trial run, little manual for employees. Who does what, where to get things, and why you're here to help the legislature out. By next year, we're going to have enough experience to put out something meaningful. I didn't want to get eyewash and repeat the obvious things. But it has to be expanded upon. My next year, we'll have enough, I think, to prepare in preparation for this, I hope, for orientation session. An excellent manual for members down to the gut things, the how-tos, the wheres, procedural matters, and then the legislature makes its own way after that. If we get this approved by the council and if you're working on it, it should be an effective tool. So that is what I'm trying to look ahead to with some of the things that we can talk with the council on and the council make decisions on in the weeks ahead. In the meantime, the division heads have been busy doing all sorts of things, and I'd like to have them report briefly on their progress, and then we'll proceed towards that heavy budget matter.
I would like to interrupt at this point. You recall that last year we put together one-day orientation session for the temporary employees. Mr. Doyle is working with the staff to put together another one that will be held within the first 2 weeks, as soon as it looks like all the staff is on board, so that they will not only have the legislative employees handbook to rely on for some how-tos and who to go to for what, but they will have an opportunity of an all-day-long Saturday session of meeting with the staff of Legislative Affairs Agency, Legislative Finance, the State Library, the Chief Clerk, and the Senate Secretary, as last year, and hopefully it will be even more helpful to them this year. So when that is put together, those of you that are with committees particularly, or even the personal staff, be sure that your staff does attend on that day. I think you'll find it very helpful. Your staff will be able to be much more effective for you.
Mr. Barrier.
Before, one more thing. I talked it over with Mr. Doyle and with Mr. Miller about perhaps the advisability of requesting the leadership of the two houses for an early joint session for about 45 minutes at 11 o'clock one morning this week, so that all of the members would have an opportunity for Mr. Doyle to introduce the directors of our divisions, each director introduce their staff, so that all members know what services are available to them and at least will recognize the staff people by face and not feel like any of the rest of us might have a leap ahead of them. That's one thing we might want to keep in mind. Council won't make the decision if the members here think it would be advisable, then we could request that of the leadership of the two houses. And unfortunately, the Senate president's not here, but Mr. Bradner has.
To recap the division's activities over the interim would take a long time, and the council's been following them. The primary activity, of course, was involved with the committees, and you'll be getting rather full reports on that during the course of the week. We've received what I found rather surprising number of work orders over the session, a total of 234. Of these, 146 have been completed. Most of the others have not been completed are parts of fairly substantial packages relating either to specific areas, such as malpractice, or relating to the subcommittee areas. We have had 103 bills completed, 27 resolutions, various other stuff. With the pre-filing, we have 21 bills pre-filed and 8 resolutions pre-filed. As to the cases, to take all of the cases that have been involved over the summer, the oil impact case has been dismissed from the Supreme Court. The Warwick case has reached a decision in the Supreme Court, as all of you are aware of. The decision was favorable to the legislature's position, and the formal opinion has not come out yet. The confirmation of directors case is pending on motion for summary judgment. The motion supporting memorandum has been filed. The answer has been filed. The current status is that the Attorney General's office is to file a reply and probably will go to argument in sometime in late January. We're not quite sure how long it will be before the reply comes in. And on the Alcantara case, a complaint has been filed requesting an injunction. No answer has been filed, and the matter is currently under discussion between my office and the Attorney General's office. I think this concludes the report.
Thank you. Greg, would you want to report on the research end?
The most important event I can report is that we have hired people to fill all the authorized positions. Of the 5 new positions authorized, 3 of these individuals are with us right now. One will be joining us the 1st of February, and the final one early in March or late in February. The division has been working on those reports which have been submitted to us, but we are ready to undertake requests for research that any legislator may want to direct to us. And at least the first few weeks, we'll be actively soliciting those because we'd like to get our questions in quickly. I would like the opportunity to introduce the people to the legislators, and I think that would be an excellent idea. That pretty much covers our activities.
Bert, do you want to give the administrative services report?
I don't have too much of a report because I think most of my report will come up as we discuss later items on the agenda. Budget matters and supplemental matters. We do have our working on space and slowly getting ready. Each minute passes. I asked Jack if he was going to be here tomorrow night, Sunday night, so that in case I wasn't ready by tomorrow night, I would be here to accept my resignation.
I did want to note for the record that you have distributed to all members in their mailboxes, etc., the notification as to where supply is, how checks are handled, and all those other essential matters that certain legislators or their staff people, so they know the new order of things and where things are physically in the building.
I'm trying to do some general miscellaneous items all in one memorandum as opposed to printing this.
parking and all that sort of thing.
Planning board, parking spaces, checks, and how they'll be handled, et cetera. I also have written one memorandum to each committee chair about the posting of no smoking signs. I do have those to the chairman as well, if they want to post their hand in their committee room.
Mr. Bradner?
State office building, the last office building, the Capitol, community building, court building, and the assembly during all hours except 2 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Sundays and 2 a.m. to 7 a.m. on all other days.
And don't print that in the news because then everybody knows that those are the hours they can break in.
But Ms. Personette is one willing to discuss further.
That was an item that was put into the budget of in the last session of the Capitol Complex Security Corps or something like that.
Those funds were all frozen by the administration early on, part of that freeze. And they did release part of those funds so that you could have something up by Monday morning.
Are you finished, Mr. Bradner?
Yeah, I really seriously wonder whether that's, you know, that's happened. I was one of those, I think, when the force originally came on in the prior legislature, but I didn't like the uniform guards and stuff. So I think became aware that it certainly was used to have somebody there on hand in those 24 hours a day. You know, the legislators come in there and lost something, and, you know, with midnight, you could always get in the facilities and quarters and those and put it on.
I think Mike's right.
Plus, it sure made operating the cars easier because you had somebody who was, you know, was always on duty.
I was kind of curious how much of those funds were released, how what percentage were held back, and also if we happen to be robbed during those periods with no coverage, the administration prepared to identify us for a loss during that period.
The funds that have been released, the staff have got to require at least $20,000 in restrictions. That's what budget. Last year,
37, I understood.
37, 37 for our own security last year.
I consider that fair amounts.
This would be all good.
Thank
you. Mr. Cotulla, and then Ms. Poland, and then Mr.
I'll pass to Kay because my comment was only in support of the speakers.
Mr. Poland.
Well, mine was somewhat along the same lines. I didn't have personal experience myself, but I did have staff members tell me about working late in the evening at the assembly last year.
Senator Cotulla.
Is that a thing he carries on his vest? Yeah, well, that's a good addition. That might work.
Mr. Huber.
The only thing I'm concerned with, I again feel like the speaker does on this, but I'd like to request that the council consider that we have no less than we had last year. This is obviously considerably less. Sure, I like a radio dispatch guard instead of a non-radio dispatch guard, but after some 30 years in police communications, I know just how much more effective they are, and that little radio doesn't make the difference in what we had last year and what we're down to. And I would suggest that the council do consider either getting more from public safety in the way of guarding and making sure that all hours are covered, or that we supplement whatever is necessary, and I'll support anything in that direction.
How much money, Mr. Charney, how much money was appropriated last year? $20,000 was released. How much was appropriated? Public safety was that they would have to be requested by the legislature to release the rest of the funds in order to increase security. Was
yes.
that it?
Yeah, Mr. Personette, when Mr. Brown myself said that he could come up with different alternatives at various spending levels, and, you know, or various security levels, and put a price tag on those, which would have the various that would accept the money. And then we wanted more or less than what this proposal, of course, this was to come before a December meeting. Decision in advance, but he was willing to have proposals at that time to discuss various alternatives with you and then proceed from there to build either more security than what his proposal called for or less security. It's not that he's unwilling to work with us, provide us more support, as long as he can have our support for producing the funds from the administration.
Mr. Bradner.
I don't object to perhaps trying something new. On that basis, because myself working around the Capitol building last year, despite our problems, those guys weren't in the room very long, and they came knocking on the door, and were very, very useful in many respects. The uniform passing, but and then be aware that we might want to shift back to the other policy.
Would council wish to request of Mr. Personette the proposal for additional security so that we could consider requesting the administration to release more of the appropriated funds so that there would be more than what is now scheduled?
Madam Chairman, can I ask a question?
Mr. Huber?
Does anyone know the can anyone tell me the amount? This is kind of an impoundment of the fund we put up for this purpose. And the governor's office sent a impounded part of it. Can you tell me what amount was impounded?
That's what I'd ask. He did not have the information. Mr. Doyle?
Madam Chairman,
Mr.
Cotulla. I think you should proceed precisely as you just suggested, but I think that if the present situation doesn't work, Chairman of Council very rather quickly from a number of people that they think the Speaker's office, the President's office, so on. I think she should just proceed then to the next stage and say we need more, we need a better facility. And it just ought to be the will of the Council that she could just go ahead and do that.
We'll try it with the level that they now propose, and if it turns out that it's not enough, then I just request them. All right. Mr. Doyle?
I was going to say that. I thought I was going to bring this up under other business because it was a communication we had. Since we didn't meet, and Mr. Personette is willing to see what the group wants, and the idea was to have the group speak from experience and say, what do you think you need? Because I've heard criticism of last year, and now that we're on more floors of the building, and we trust staff to be working at night in some of these areas, like the floor we're on now is so accessible because of the parking thing that people are roaming up and down, or even now, you don't know who they are and what in a darkened hallway. We talked to Mr. Personette, another chap whose name I forget, who reports very colorfully. He, in his minutes, he reported that I suggested we either wanted nothing at all or barbed wire and machine guns. But this is really a sensitive subject. We now have a floor in the court building, three floors technically in the assembly, and we have four and a half out of the six floors in this building. And there are people and equipment, staff around, and some that naturally have to work at night, prefer to work at night, and it takes something more than a couple of good old boys walking around or one person who has to walk this beat. That wouldn't be very satisfactory or calm your nerves either. But I think it's going to be expensive, and the idea was that the council would certainly want to look at it and want to act as soon as possible when we see some obvious needs, because it is going to be a problem since we're even scattered out more this year. And I would like to see that the authority given you.
They rip off a couple of these big machines that they did before, apparently. Well, we'll find the obvious need after the fact.
Yes.
We'll be right on top.
Well, I think most of our experience last year was the physical danger of employees in some of the offices over in the assembly. I know twice the people from my office had to phone the security guard to come over fast about 9 or 10 o'clock at night when they were being, the gentleman was strong-armed out. Once I had to call when somebody was trying to break into my apartment on the top floor. So the difficulty I found with it, though, was that sometimes, for some reason, with Capitol switchboard, it got cut off and did not ring through at night into the security office over here. And so you could ring and ring and ring, but you didn't get any help. So I called the city police, and I get the word that the security guards in the Capitol building. I don't know what caused
one
that problem.
One suggestion that Jack might pursue is that I think in the past, janitorial crew was brought in. We had one or two very regular people, and people would just be switched in on. You're very aware that the legislature is sort of an open door area. You can come in and out, doors are left open accidentally. You know, the lounge is there. We caught people making telephone calls some years ago. It would be very helpful, I think, in security and help with the administration, because their areas are also vulnerable.
So the custodial people be alert.
Custodial crew this year.
The thought occurs, Madam Chairman, the suggestion by Senator Gurtula that you have the authority to up this is an excellent one, but I would hope that you wouldn't allow it to start at as low a level as it is, that you do something toward the alternate plan of getting more to begin with, because it's obvious that is so little that we'll be in a position later on of having to say that, well, now we need it because we're going to lock the barn door because the horse is already gone. And maybe if you can raise it in the meantime to a higher level, then maybe we know you'll have to raise it still further. That's just another thought.
Fine, we'll proceed to take care of that. Let's go on to the next item. Are you finished?
Merge, do you want to take care of the, let's open the budget.
No, I'll take a 10-minute recess.
I think you don't lose anybody. All right.
Stretch break. The next item we go into, I think, is going to require a great deal of discussion, and I don't want to lose any of our members.
Right back.
But
right,
let's
yeah.
take about a 5-minute stretch yeah. break, because this next one is going to be...
Yeah.
And we can't afford it, particularly among the leadership of the two houses.
Well, you know that anybody that's not interested in defending his interest is going to lose his interest.
For
5 minutes. I got really got back in the editorial. I have. Oh, great. I'm going to explain that joke. No. It isn't really what everyone thinks it is. I'm going to go to the other office and get some decaffeinated coffee.
Oh, you brought me the editorial.
Oh, chance to ask.
Good news. Good news.
Yes, there is.
No
more.
I thought there ought to be one.
I haven't heard of the last one, but I was thinking of Mrs. Hall, who was appointed, you know, about a month ago. Or
this is the lady of all work.
Is she from the...
You find six cents per house. Those are pretty well straightforward, I believe, and pretty well in conformance with the conditions that have been authorized in last year. The first sheet on that, the time the secretary to other legislators, other than committee chairman, other than the leadership, is, of course, is the new. This has been prepared in what I understood to believe what the council wanted the budget prepared like, with the assumption. Basically, wherever possible, one secretary will serve two legislators. The second assumption, however, proximity of location must also be considered, because you shouldn't have to ask for a legislator in the court building and a legislator in the assembly building. You should have to share a secretary. So the assignment of space will go into this a little bit. And then the other assumption was, of course, majority and minority members would not be required to share a secretary. So on that basis, we have split it up here by areas. The court building would require four secretaries for other legislators. The Capitol building, Jack.
What page are you on now?
The top sheet of the assignment of secretaries, the 8.5 by 11 handout.
The front sheet of it.
The front sheet.
Okay.
Capital would require 7 for individual legislators that can be in Capital. 5 secretaries required for the first floor assembly legislators, and 6 secretaries for the legislators that would be housed on the second floor of the assembly. And that's based on those 3 assumptions that I listed at the top. Now, if you wish to change that now at this time, now that you've seen the figures, Madam Chair?
Mr. Miller.
As I understand it, Keith, am I correct that we were going to end up saving one secretary by the switch of Byrne and Brown, different floors, that would free up?
Put the proximity such that we could then have a shared secretary instead of an extra one. Madam Chair.
Mr. Speckin.
I'd like to maintain that option.
this man already had two AAs and one secretary, was that it?
Yeah, we gave them, I think, approval last year. But it was clear to me that I would rather have that extra AA and then possibly I can limit that body somewhere else. What I'm really saying is some pairs of legislators probably won't be able to keep one secretary busy to hold one. But I can't make that, I prefer not to make that determination, so I'd like to have that opportunity to press here.
Mr. Bradner.
Not sure. I think the biggest confusion probably has to be in the House. As you know, we try to line people up and have putting them in the right kind of position. And I think, you know, we should have the flexibility moving positions to accommodate that, especially this year. Like, if we end up with a jam with our membership, perhaps we can take a major position and say, yeah, special assistance cost $10 a day or something like that. That probably isn't correctly computed in the budget. But I think this kind of flexibility within the rules committee can move people back and forth like that.
Mr. Rose.
Assuming this personnel program has been submitted or adopted by the company, is there any reward if you don't use this package or something?
What is a bale of hay?
Huh?
What? You get a bale of hay.
Well, what I mean is it's possibly this.
These are the assumptions that have been used by Mr. Chiney in preparing the lump sum that would need to be requested of the legislature, but then it would be up to the rules committees of the two houses to make the assignments. It's simply that we had to have some way to figure what would be needed for our supplemental appropriation.
Well, we're really involved in the financing.
And you have to use some sort of assumptions as to how many bodies and at what level of pay you're figuring them so you can come up with the supplemental request.
My question, Madam Chairman, would have been more directed at if there is the flexibility there so it to accommodate any other need, and we want to say, well, gee, let's wipe out a page on the floor and put it to work as a secretary.
That would
be
up to the House Rules
Committee.
That would be up to the House Rules Committee.
Because generally it would be a higher cost switch to eliminate a lower cost position.
Mr. Charney.
This opens up, you know, another subject I was going to cover, because somebody had asked me to come in with the figure for a 100-day session rather than a 90-day session, which I've calculated everything on. And for personal services only, an extra 10 days would be $65,700. And I mentioned that in this regard, that I think another decision has to be made is whether you're going to go in with one basic supplemental early on in the session, or are you going to come in with the supplemental to meet the what looks like the need at this time, you know, and maybe based on the 90-day session, and then wait a couple months into the session, and we'd have time enough to look at the additional expenses that would have occurred because of these transfers. Maybe near the tail end of the session, when it looks like it might go an extra days, if it does, and then we could come in with a tail end supplemental to catch off all this stuff up at that time.
Yeah, I understand Mr. Bradner. That, and that's an issue that the legislature has never ever resolved. I've never seen one yet. Catch can at the end, and it's another 10 days. But I think now, just so that we understand here that we're talking about general lump sum positions, and that we're not trapped necessarily by a dollar amount on the top from making up
what specifically are you discussing?
Well, what I'm thinking of,
same thing with that sugar bug.
Do you want to take staff, say, you want to take a change, that you want to accommodate it, and something they have, like, they're already talking about it, $5 a day. Also, I'm not sure how you compute it. He's senior position, which I think our rule, you know, $55 a day is what we're passing. Last year, I know you just bumped everything here as a special. I'm not sure if you put over. And I have one of the lessons that I, yes, sir. Senate said we lump senior positions for each side at the same price.
See, there is some difficulty here because on one hand, your rules say the Joint Rules Committee take a lot of these decisions. On the other hand, you know, how far you determine that you're retailing the budget also is fine. Two systems that we're working.
I'd like to point out that this information here is merely an explanation of how they arrived at the figure. And that then it's up, I think council, all the members of council recognize that the actual in-session operations are handled by the two rules committees.
And all I'm trying to do is clarify the intent of the council.
So the council cannot say how many employees each house has, but when we go in for a supplemental request, we have to answer as to how we came up with that figure. And then each house rules committee determines how they're going to use the money. Mr. Petula?
The figure then you're proposing for the immediate supplemental is based on
a 90-day session.
90-day session and
these
and
assumptions.
The backup.
These assumptions.
I have a few more narrative comments.
What are you talking about? Factor of 5% in there too. I mean, like, it's really, you could get by for 92 days, 93 days, if you had without a supplemental. Or have you got it right tight against?
I've got it pretty tight. As a matter of fact, it might be short because of the pre-session hires that I really hadn't anticipated that we would be putting that much pre-session work on workers on this past week. And so I might be a little short there because I budgeted for a strict 90 days and I've had some pre-session costs that I haven't even figured out.
Having conversed with the President of the Senate on the subject generally, I think that we would like a 90-day session, but don't make it an 85-day session now. You know, be sure that you have enough to handle the 90-day session approach.
Well,
if you have to liberalize this figure, one day over, 2 days over, we're not going to need a supplemental. I think that's what you ought to do.
Of course, we have several things that we do have to accept, take into account. One is that our administrative staff is new to the operation of the legislature. And secondly, with the crunch of trying to get ready where we had hoped we would have been finished with all of this by the 15th, there has had to be additional pre-session staff brought on board to really pour on the coal and have things ready by Monday. And so there were, there's that addition that he just mentioned, he hadn't counted
into
there.
$80,000,
$90,000
more?
Oh, not that much.
What's the ballpark figure, you think?
I would say probably, with the four secretaries that I did omit, that's supposed to be $16,000. I would say probably another $25,000.
Would that include that 5% for two or three or four or 5 days that gentleman mentioned too?
Yeah, it will run 6,000. My figure for 10 days is 65,700. Every day then would be $6,570 for personal services. And then, of course, there'd be the other expenses, the additional supplies and the additional telephone
per diem
expenses.
Did you put
and so
in the per diem in
that? No, the per diem is not in that. I'm sorry.
Mr. Bradner?
I wonder if we computed some kind of figure or some kind of estimate about the stuff, make a separate line item, make sure that the legislature, no matter what, temporary health, professional health can operate. The last 8 days, so many times I've seen, has to do with my remark I made about the legislature never being able to are so close on the raises that we find out that they've got some other problems, and we close the information offices. Help down here is cut off so prematurely that stuff is left scattered all over the place, which contributes to the loss of the next year. Never done the payoff job properly, which could make the startup the next year so much easier. I know the last 3 years running, like the information office chair, I took them shut the day.
And increased last year, it was about a week before the session was over.
Important days, those offices operate. They said help in every case, volunteers, and said, kept it open. But that's something I think we want to be very conscious on as we go through the session. Don't end up in that ridiculous
position. Having to cut everybody off the very day we adjourned. Ms. Ostrowski?
I'd like some clarification on this breakdown. I don't know how hard and fast this is, but these estimates for secretaries to other legislators are on like 4 in the court building and 7 here and 5 there and 6 on the last list. Those break down to one person to one in some areas. The way is before for 6 people under the court building and 7 for, you know, less than 2 each on the breakdown here. I didn't understand how you arrived at those figures.
I counted up the legislators, individual legislative offices on these buildings.
Rather than
separated them by party, majority, minority, and then said they had, I had 4 legislators with the same party, same house, I mean, same party, and the house there, there would be 2 secretaries. If I had 5, it would be 3 secretaries.
So that's actually liberal estimate.
Okay. Well, it's pretty accurate. Something that they use that they would not split with anybody else out of their area.
But they would be in the same house and in the same party. And then you start counting the offices wherever they are.
No,
but even that,
I don't understand 4 for 6 people. I don't understand how there's 2, 1 for every 2.
Well, there's one in the court building. There is 1 Senate minority member.
Yeah.
And there are 2.
No, there's 2 Senate minority members, and they share a secretary. Senator Miller and Senator. One secretary to serve 2 senators.
Yeah. Okay. And then there are 4 House majority members, so that means 2 secretaries for those roles. And then there's 1 House minority.
There's only 3.
Three. It's 3 and 3.
No, there's 3.
3.
There's 3 there, but that would still rate 2. On our basis, that 3 would not have 1. So when you had an odd number, you'd always go to the next full number.
Mr. Doyle?
Following through on the speaker's presentation here, I thought we ought to maybe get this thing into focus. The idea the council looking at this is, and we may have to wait a few days, is to follow the conversation I had with Senator Crofton and Senator Chance. They were discussing, should we have an allocation to the Senate, an allocation to the House, an allocation to the agency which handles some of the centralized services with Division of Finance, so they know within the perimeters they have to work, and they know how much money they have to spend. Now, the House figures are based upon a real good list that Speaker Bradner gave us after our last meeting in Anchorage. He wrote out all, as he remembered, the essential assignments and a few variations on it. And the same went for the Senate, what they had the previous time. But have to remember that the joint rules do require, and this is only equitable, that the rules committees jointly decide what we're going to pay whom for what. Because if we find the Senate paying $5 a day for a messenger, you know who wants to go where, and it's not fair. And that's why the rules, written years ago, said they're going to decide what the salaries are. Well, now, last time, the salaries were decided. Some employees got the impression there was going to be a raise this year, but we do have the sheet showing what we were paying for what jobs last year, except for a couple higher class exceptions, but secretaries, proofreaders, and all this sort of thing. This enables each house to sort of figure out what they had before and what it's going to cost them, and then within a given figure, I think if we have an appropriation, if the council with the leadership could agree on an allocation to each house within which they're going to work, unless they get in a bind and come back and ask for more. But
to put in the supplemental appropriation, which covers more, of course, as you know, than just the personnel for the session and the post-session work. I don't know what the timing and wishes of the group and the timing are, but it's going to take some early on decisions by the houses on how many people they really think they need based upon what salary rate, so that we can get an honest figure in that's not going to embarrass anybody or be just shortchange them as they go along. It's also, of course, a control element that the leadership can use in guiding the staffing for individual members, committees, and the chamber staffs.
Mr. Bradner.
Jack, I don't know whether we can do that right now. It's definitely something we can we should point towards, because that sort of system can reduce the possibility of bad blood between the two houses. And as an example, you know, the House generally tends to have more people to take care of. As a matter of fact, the Senate 3 years ago had almost, you know, a person employed every legislator, the way it worked out, even in the minority, because you're only dealing with 20 people.
One of the reasons, though, is some minority are for chairman.
But it's not hard to accommodate that. Plus, you have unique situations come up where a committee chairman may run across somebody who has extraordinary ability. A few years ago, as an example, we had a feature in the rules that said, well, on some basis, you could pay an extraordinary level to someone. Talent that both rules agreed on. Of course, if the House had the flexibility to shift its money within a means, you could accommodate that. That means like one case in point last year, Terry Garden was able to hire a member of the bar to be his administrative assistant.
Well, I think we ought to have a, to take care of this session situation, maybe the idea of getting a solid reading from the leadership in each house to advise the council of what this item in the appropriation request is going to be, and then you work within that, unless you run something extraordinary, then come back to the council. But I think an early decision and just a general allocation within any request made will allow you that flexibility to take care of all these things. And as long as you don't get into these basic jobs where there's a variation in pay, which is going to, you know, ruin every plan you had. And that's sort of a caucus-type decision that I think we'll have to wait until...
Well, actually, Mr. Doyle, if you'll excuse me, the way this has been broken down, it will be fairly easy to work out the allocation, because you see the Senate session employees listed, the House session employees listed, the other session employees, which is in the centralized, you know, the temporaries in the agency, and then on the front sheet, the secretaries, and they're separated out, House, Senate. And so it would be fairly easy to break out that allocation. And the idea was that it would allow more flexibility within each house and cut down some on the friction between the two houses.
My thought was, could we get that determination early, and then we could get the bill in if we're going to have to be... moving into next week. It all depends when you think the supplemental bill ought to go in. And right now that Mr. Charney could make an estimate based upon the figures here and let you see some real discrepancy and let you work this weekend on those details you ought to work out.
Then we discussed that matter of First Security, and the chairman does have to go through and the administration, of course, either their choice do not release the impounded funds or how long to go in, and we might have to push out the expenditure there. So there's a lot of things. We do, I did want to also mention that we do plan on utilizing express mail to the Anchorage and Fairbanks information offices. And we think we can do that for about $2,500 using express mail for an 90-day session. And that we would have it to the previous day's journals, all the bills and so forth, to the post office by 8:30 in the morning. We're guaranteed delivery in Anchorage by noon, and we're guaranteed pickup at the post office in Fairbanks by 12:30. And so that at those times, they by noon the next day, they will, the information officers will be right up to date with all of the legislative data and all the news bills.
Gentlemen. Is that built into your budget here?
Well, for $2,500, I didn't, but I think probably that can be, probably could absorb $2,500. But I just did want to mention that we have other things that we haven't implemented yet that we're still in.
And that will be an improvement. The information offices, the last few years, have gotten the delivery of documents from here about twice a week. This way they would get them the next day, by midday. What would pleasure of the council be on wanting to, on the supplemental, well, first of all, on the supplemental, and secondly, on the allocation, requesting Mr. Charney to break it out?
To answer your question, Senator Petula, what it might take extra to run, say, for 92, 93, 94 days, I would say that your figure that you mentioned, about $80,000, would be about right. I come out with about $72,000 without considering any supplies or telephone and so forth, so I would guess that probably about $85,000 would be about the right figure.
Now we're just going to come up with one supplemental, not under fund to look nice now and then have to eat another supplemental later.
That had been the two propositions. We could go with the one that looked like it would really meet the needs of. He had figured it for a 90-day session. Some of us asked him to be prepared to advise council what it would be for a 100-day session. Council can make the determination as to whether or not you want to do that and just be forthright and candid with that first appropriation and hopefully live within it.
Madam Chairman, there's no attempt on the part of the council to suggest to the good, distinguished senator that this might be the last supplemental. We certainly hope it's the last supplemental.
We would certainly hope we would be able to live within it. Mr. Smith.
I wonder if we could ask Murph what the cash position is. Is there any urgency in the acting on this in terms of paying the bills on time?
In other words, how much are we funded for now? How many days session are we funded for now without a supplemental? Two days, 10 days, 30?
Well, because the payroll of the staff hasn't been encumbered either, so of course we can go, before we actually get into cash bind, I would guess we could go 30 days or more before we'd actually start getting into cash bind. Because we'd just be borrowing against the permanent staff salaries and so forth.
I just assume not start that, since that's one of the things that got us in trouble in the past, was borrowing out of the agency fund. I'd like to keep the agency budget in a stable position, and we handle the legislature, go ahead and handle the expenses of the legislative session and not start tapping the agency fund. That's part of what got us in trouble in the past without anybody knowing it.
Wonder what the question is, Madam Chairman, what the time would be in those conditions that you just stated.
If we did not borrow from the agency fund, how fast do we have to get a supplemental pass?
I would say within a couple of weeks. Before the, hopefully maybe before the January payroll.
Why, I don't see any reason why.
Why we couldn't
since,
do it.
Since because of the reorganization and adding the professional arms and other things, very obvious that everybody, including the public, for many months, that you're going to need a major supplemental. We asked for it.
Well, that's the, what we faced in the decision we made early on, that the money appropriated, we would pour into straightening out the agency and then face the in-session expenses within the first 30 days of our payment session. Of what is the pleasure of the council regarding the supplemental request?
I'm wondering if we hand out an act on it this afternoon, right now. Because we've got until Monday for introduction. final figure is probably ought to be discussed online, so if we want 90-day funding exact, or we want to go farther, or we want to go less, maybe we ought to have a little opportunity to think about that.
We also want to be able to go back and pick up the expenses on the pre-session hire that had not been figured. Because
well, the obvious political implication is if you come in with two supplementals, you get the hell kicked out of you somehow or other. But on the other hand, it's better to have a fairly tight first supplemental, a lot more conservative numbers figure, because then it gives no, you know, you don't go along spending a little more than you should have all along, have had to go against the wire.
One thing about it, with our accounting system in place and computerized, the leadership in the two houses will be able to know at any given point exactly where they stand as far as uncommitted funds or funds available.
Well, I'd like to see this brought up late in the afternoon.
All right.
For finalists.
Mr. Tillion.
Yeah, from what I see, we've run over the budget that we had by about 20% right now. So as far as getting the hell kicked out of us, we should get the hell kicked out of us right now. And I don't think it's going to ease it off. You know, it's something that you're just going to have to live with. We spent more than we had appropriated, and we'd sure raise hell with any other department that did.
All right, you're speaking as a spokesman for the minority of spokesman.
I truly wish
I
truly wish, Senator Tillion, that you had been able to attend the council meetings during the summer and fall when we were wrestling with this, because we did recognize the fact that we were going to have to take the major portion of our appropriation and put it into straightening out the agency and then bite the bullet when it comes for an appropriation and do it early. Mr. Bradner?
Yeah, I think we should act on it this afternoon. My only question to Jack. Whether they would want some sort of budget designation that says it's post-session temporary employees, so that we are not caught. If we play it right on the razor's edge, I'm going to pick any day. But if we're caught on the razor's edge, that we don't, you know, have to sacrifice to rational cleaning up of the legislature after the fact.
Perhaps in the budget request for next year, which we will have an opportunity to go over this next week before making.
I mean, my point is, it's in a way, they're a nightmare.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that perhaps following that, they might want some items in there using your experience this year on pre-session hire. Have an item of pre-session temporaries and post-session temporaries, the ones in preparation for the session and the ones to close things down and have them in order before they leave.
I think that goes in conjunction with what you mentioned earlier, what Jack mentioned earlier about trying to work with the space needs also in the future and legislature, because a lot of it will depend on, you know, how we're going to deactivate and again, like we was done last year, or are we going to maintain space, or what we're going to do that, because that, of course, dictates the work that has to be done. A lot of the work that has to be done at the end of the session. Last year was done in a very hurried way, and as any of you that were here during the summer noted, this furniture piled to the ceilings in most committee rooms, and a bunch of lounge, and you know, stacked in there. Was, you know, I don't think we cared about the equipment at all. We just got a few things in and stashed them all the way up to the ceiling. And so it was done in an orderly way, and if it could be done in an orderly way, that was going to be happening again. We were going to vacate the assembly, we were going to vacate the court building. And if it was done in an orderly way, it would take a few extra days and a little bit more expense, but we'd save it at the other end and getting ready for the next session.
And what we'll do is name the Committee on Space with members from the two houses, so that before the end of the session, hopefully we will have that worked out, and the agency will know what the plan is for the following session, and then the people can proceed, and we won't be caught in the kind of crunch we have historically been caught in that we are caught in this time, too.
And all proposals by the administration will be signed in blood by the
other. For, hopefully we will have that all worked out and signed prior to the end of the session so that the work by the staff can be done immediately upon the adjournment of the session. Mr. Doyle has passed out a bill that we'd like the council to consider introducing. It is an outgrowth of the experiences that we have had in the space situation this year. And if you take time to look it over, it's a little cleanup matter.
I move we introduce.
I'll be glad to give a few questions.
Some way we can give the guarantee the governor parking space.
It says equitable.
The one that Mark Doyle, the governor, always gets. We built that.
Mr. Curtula has moved that the bill be introduced.
Question.
Is there any objection? Mr. Huber has asked unanimous consent. Is there any objection?
There is objection. I want to vote no.
Mr. Tillian votes no. With objection, there will be a vote. All those in favor, raise your right hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And 8 voting yes, Mr. Tillian voting no.
Well, I haven't even
read the bill yet. It's a long haul. Year after year, this province administration the parking garage built at least 50% of the legislature. So that was the point that during the interim, of course, it should be used by the
Mr. Rode abstains. So the motion has passed. If you wish to further discuss it, we'll. Mr. Tillian?
That's very simple. Mr. Senator Catula brought it up as if it was just the parking garage. What you're trying to do is squeeze the Attorney General off the wall with this. There's several other approaches, and it just should be brought out in the open. What you're trying to do after the fact that we still have the assembly apartment, and we've gone through this ego kick of private offices for every legislator. I think that a continued grab for more space just really isn't warranted. On the other hand, I can understand not having others use some of our basic offices while we're gone. And I think this goes a little bit too far. I certainly wouldn't mind something that protected the basic office space, nor would I mind something that made it very plain that when the legislature is here, the parking garage, that was the original agreement, that we'd have a place to park. But I think this is going much too far.
I would like to point out, Mr. Trillian, that the language that space occupied is under the control of the legislature and subject to assignment. It does not preclude its use when the legislature is not in session. It will merely be assigned by the legislature rather than the administration so that it can be vacated at the time when the legislature comes back into session. Since it also says space occupied in any state building by the legislature or its agencies is under control of, but the key phrase there is space occupied. The space on the fourth floor is occupied by the Attorney General, so there is no language there that would be kicking the Attorney General out.
There's only one thing wrong with that. There's two rooms up there that were loaned to the legislature by the Attorney General, and you're now working away to keep.
Mr. Doyle?
I'd like just to go over the whole background of this without ignoring my friend the Attorney General. We have two or three problems in that first section. Under the existing law, the law reads like it already does now, that we have control over legislative space. But we don't have it for the Division of Audit, which is threatened from time to time of being evicted wherever it happens to be, because they weren't covered by the old law.
And they have been moved three times.
And they've been moved, and they're threatened with it again, which, of course, you don't. Administration may have its own good reasons, but it certainly puts an agency legislature in jeopardy. We have space on the sixth floor of the court building, which I don't know could be taken away next month. We do have the assembly, we rent that. In this building here, we occupy space. We occupy 4.5 floors of a 6-floor building. Every year since the first statehood session, we have had hassles with the department administration about getting legislator space, parking space anywhere. This year, I had my first fight of the year with a bureaucrat over there who said, well, this is all we're going to do. And I said, the legislature needs space when it's here. Now, the space you get when you're here, our little agency has 5 spots which go to legislators when the session is on. But there are people from other buildings over here. There are people from the court, and the court is supposed to be housed in the new parking lot. The governor has an increasingly large staff, but most of those spaces go to other agencies other than legislative agencies, including Division of Audit. But every year it's this hassle, would you please give me some parking spots? Then the impertinent thing comes back, we'll see what we can do. Well, I think after 15 years, that's a little nonsense, but I did want to disagree with Senator Tillian. The whole purpose here was to make sure that whatever we have now, we have control over and can't be moved out of once you go out of town. Now, there are those 2 offices which Division of Finance and the Finance Committee members have been working with the Attorney General with or hassling with. This agency was on that floor. We had the same hassle. We seesaw it every year. But the point was to protect the Legislative Audit Committee and the space we have now, and to make certain that this burden is taken off of administration, which generously allocates a few spots begrudgingly after an annual fight every year to this agency for the legislature. Now, it would seem to me if we occupy most of the building, you certainly don't need all those spaces. But there are 72 spaces, and they generally give us about 30. When the session approaches, between sessions, let's put it this way, the council so directs, and we tell you the legislature so directs, you decide that the governor is in this building, attorney general's in this building, building maintenance officials, the rest of his legislative staff and agency people. Why not allocate it accordingly there? Right now, it's not allocated accordingly. There are people from all over being accountable. When the session approaches, but before that, you advise the administrative agency personnel, not the governor, I mean, naturally the governor and several of his staff, that we need these spaces for the use of members of the legislature when they come into session. And that's it. It's an understanding. So that was the purpose of that section. It really was to protect something, and audit is not protected under the current law. And I don't know, I don't think you'd thank me very much if after the session someone says we've got to move the furniture out of the court building, stow it over here because department administration decided it's going to go someplace else. If the legislature agrees to that, there's no problem. We don't want them moving you in and out. But I go way back to the old days when this legislature consisted of 4 gray boxes in the basement, which we put up with every 60 days, every 2 years, unpacked you and threw you into a chamber, moved you out to 60 days, and that was the end of the legislature. So we've come a long way, but the law as was written, and I worked on that years ago, didn't cover audit, and it didn't cover the new situation we have. But we are not taking more space, you cannot, but you're saying what you have you hold on to unless the legislature decides through an agency, or, as a whole,